Okay, anybody need the handout from last week who was not here? Okay. Hey, Amanda, can you just hand those out to people? So, as I mentioned last week, we're in this kind of mini-series of lessons, and they kind of all link together. Savings, investment, and now today we talk about retirement. And our theme verses for these series of lessons has been Proverbs 18, 10, and 11. And, of course, those of you who were here the last couple weeks know those verses talk about that the Lord is our strong tower, and we go to that tower for safety. But verse 11 of Proverbs 18 talks about the rich guy who thinks he lives in a strong walled city, but in reality the walls are imaginary. But he thinks he's safe because he has lots of money. Now let me just start out this lesson. We want to talk about retirement today. I'm not sure we'll get done with all of the topics associated with this. We may have to run over a little bit into next week. And then we want to talk somewhat in the future about budgeting and which personality types really need the budget, but many of us don't need the budget. And I know that runs counter to what you hear. So you'll have to come and hear that perspective. And then we're finishing up here at the end of the month with this long series, and I compliment all of you for sticking with this class for six long months. And we will finish up with another elder panel like we had at the end of the first quarter. We'll have another elder panel at the end of this quarter talking about some of the topics that we've covered in the last couple of months, like debt and investments, retirement, and so on. So I see that Steve Hines has already put out an email that you can go to the church website and sign up for the adult Sunday school classes for next quarter. So you can be looking at those a while. Okay, so the American idea of retirement is not a biblical concept. Let's start with that. That was the only way I could keep Carol Zeller sitting in this class, because she was told me already that she didn't think it was a biblical concept. Why not? Why? What about our current society's concept of retirement is not biblical? I caught you by surprise. I usually don't ask my first question until 10 minutes into it, so what about American concept of retirement? Yes, Claudia. Okay. So, right, at their peak, maybe of wisdom, not of physical prowess, but yes, right. Someone told me years ago, this back when I was really young, that when you were 45, you were at the perfect age. And I said, why? And he said, well, because you're finally wise enough that you lose some of that foolish stuff of your youth, but you still have some strength left. After that, it all goes the other way. So, well, I'm way past 45, so it's all right. The Bible never has a concept of a permanent rest until we get to heaven. But nowhere on earth is there a concept of a permanent rest. There are episodes of periodic rest, which we are to take advantage of. The Lord's Day, okay, periods of rest, but never a permanent rest. So that's one reason why the idea of American idea of retirement is not biblical. Why else? Yes, Steve. Okay. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the lesson, about how what in reality government benefits have done to further this idea of American retirement. Very good. Claudia kind of touched on another point, you know, the blessings of our resources and our skills and our talents that God has given us are not to be used only for self-centered, indulgent purposes. And oftentimes as people look at retirement, that's exactly what they view it as. A time of indulgence and self-centeredness that I deserve after working for a number of years. So no permanent rest. That's not a biblical concept. And blessings of resources, talents, and skills are not to only be used for self. Okay, and the third reason why retirement is not biblical is that there's no license to live a self-centered life. Instead, as long as we're on the earth, we are told that we are to care for others. Okay. And so, this whatever the magical age is in your mind when you can, retire, why then all of a sudden do we change from caring for others to being self-centered? So, the American idea of retirement is not a biblical concept. Nonetheless, we live in this culture, and our heads and our hearts are often affected, and we are tempted by what we see in our culture and what we read. You read any kind of investment or money-type publication, there are always articles with a retirement focus in them and about how people are traveling the world and doing all this stuff, and that's somehow supposedly a wonderful way to spend your golden years. The times I've been on an airplane, I don't think that's, at least me. So let's do a head and heart check. What are some really unbiblical attitudes that we carry around about retirement? Well, one is we see a lot of people, and sometimes we fall into this too. We see a lot of people who retirement is not living up to their expectations or to what they think the culture says retirement should be. And so they have a lot of bitterness, and they actually have a lot of recriminations about this. And at times, some people who are Christians actually fall into this too. And, you know, one of the most famous ones of these is when you talk to retired people, a lot of times one of the first things they'll say is, when the Social Security Administration announces that there will be no cost of living increase this year, a retired person will gripe and complain about the fact that my costs are going up and I should be able to do this. I literally had these conversations, and 10 minutes later they're talking about how great it was to fish in the Gulf this past winter at their winter home in Florida. You know, like, do you realize what you really sound like, you know? Okay? So, but sometimes we can fall into that. Another area that's probably even more prevalent that I hear a lot of people doing this is jealousy. What's the number one area when we talk about retirement where people cause jealousy? Jealousy over retirement benefits. I can remember conversations between people, and we'll talk about this a little more as the lesson goes on, but, you know, in the past, employers provided a defined benefit pension program, or what we call pensions, where you were guaranteed a payout every month when you retired. Of course, that became way too expensive for employers to deal with, and so they changed their plans and went to a defined contribution plan. meaning they will guarantee that they put so much money in, but you're not, as the recipient of that plan, you're not guaranteed a certain payout at the end. If the performance in the investments don't do well, that's on your shoulders, not on the company's shoulders. But some state governments and a few companies, large companies, still have defined benefit plans. Now, I can remember conversations back in the 90s, before I was even thinking about retirement, between people who had, they were standing in a circle talking, and one person was on a defined benefit program, and one person was on a defined contribution. Program. Now, on the defined benefit program, it makes no difference the performance in the market, because you're still guaranteed a certain payment every month. Regardless of how well over 25 or 30 years the investments do, you get so much money. Here, if the market is doing well and the investments are doing well, what you get at the end is a lot more. And in the 90s, when everything was going gangbusters, I still remember these guys standing in a circle. And the person who had his money in TIAA CREF, which is a defined contribution retirement program for educational folks, was bragging about how well his wealth had gone up, that he had gained, his retirement portfolio had gained 18% in 1 year. And that this poor sap who was in the defined benefit program was going to get the same thing, regardless. My, how times have changed. After the 2009 stock market crash, many of you who also have 401ks through your employer, okay, which is a tax designation for this type of retirement account, but has become popularly known as 401ks or some other kind of defined contribution problem, you lost 30 to 40% of your value in 1 week. And many people who were within 5 years of retirement in 2009 are still working, because in no way can they afford to retire. Now, these same people who used to brag about how well their plan was doing and make fun of the defined benefit people, these same people now are all about trying to get these defined benefit plans cut, especially in state government, because they say, we lost all our money, now we're paying taxes so these people can have a pension. My, how 20 years can change attitudes. So, boy, you just hear people talking, and it's all this just fueled this jealousy by this difference between the plans. Make sure you don't get caught up in that. Okay? There may be appropriate discussions about whether state employees should have a defined benefit plan or not, but make sure what you're talking about is not out of jealousy simply because you don't have that, or however that works out when you're talking to people. Don't jeopardize your Christian witness by that. And finally, another area for a head and heart check is this self-centeredness idea. This idea that somehow we own our retirement years. And oftentimes, even unspoken, what we have in our heads is that when I retire, I will allow no commitments and I will allow no responsibilities to impinge on what I decide to do or what I want to do. Man, that's how a lot of people live retirement. I'm retired now. I've done my time. Don't ask me. I won't commit to anything because this is my time now. Okay? Boy, we see people who are, you know anybody like that? Every day Saturday, including Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. I want to be free. Don't ask me to do anything at church. Don't ask me to help in the community. You know, I'll do this when I want to do it. This is my time. Wow, this is so unbiblical. Let's look at a couple verses to remind us of why this attitude that so many people hold about retirement, including Christians, is unbiblical. Let's start in Romans 15. Romans 15, 1 and 2. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, for his edification. And why would we do that? Why would we not be self-centered and care primarily about ourselves? Because, verse 3, the example of Christ. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Okay? And let's turn over to Philippians 2 quickly, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and remind ourselves of this. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 4. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 4. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interests of others. Those three verses completely blow up the idea of American-style retirement. Sadly to say. Okay. Well, in reality, this idea of retirement, it often is like a lot of things in life. We have visions of what it's going to be like. It may be fishing, it may be woodworking, it may be hunting, it may be traveling, but you may have these visions of, man, when I retire, this is what I'm going to do. Okay? And oftentimes, it doesn't actually happen. But certainly, the government helps us to live this fiction. Because many people are unprepared for what retirement will actually cost, but they still want it. In a survey very recently of 1,000 workers who were aged 25 to 65, and they averaged it across those ages, one-third of them thought that if they saved $250,000, that would be enough for retirement to live their dream. The people who thought that the highest amount that people said was anywhere between $750,000 and $1 million, and 20% of those 1,000 workers who were surveyed thought that if they had somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million, that would be enough for retirement. Well, when you look at, and there's all kinds of worksheets on the web now that you can use to calculate what you'll need to retire to live this American dream. And in reality, and they always want you to say 30 years after retirement, because men won't live that long, but women usually often do. So they say, okay, if you retire at age 62, you know, in order to have enough money to live your dream for retirement, you should plan for living for 30 years. And if you use 3% of your nest egg per year and so on, it ends up, you need between $2.5 million and $3 million to live like you want. Okay, now how many of you think that you'll be prepared like that when you retire? Jolene, you think so? You pretty close? Yeah. All right. Just make sure you share it with everybody else now, you know, no self-centeredness, you know. See? Okay. But in reality, the government does help American citizens to try to pursue this idea of the American dream of retirement. For people who are 62, for all Americans who are 65 years and older, okay, for all Americans that are 65 years and older, Medicare pays for 62% of all the medical expense, including long-term care, of people who are 65 years and older in America. Private insurance that these people buy to supplement Medicare covers 15%. And these people's, their total out-of-pocket cost for medical insurance, including long-term care, is only 13% of the total. And people in retirement, all Americans who retire, their entire length of their retirement, spend on average out-of-pocket for a couple, $80,000. Okay? Now, if $80,000 is 13% of the total, look what the government's paying. If people who are of this age had to handle their own medical expenses, would they be able to enjoy anything close to what the American retirement dream is? Not even close. Now, how big a deal is this? Well, I think I've told you before that in the Pennsylvania budget, our state budget, this doesn't count federal contributions. Marker's running out. But just our own state budget, 40% of our $27 billion state budget is K-12 education. Okay? And another 40%, roughly, is Medicare. So everything else that the state does, prisons, courts, corrections, state police, PennDOT, all of that other stuff goes in this 20% that's left. Yes? Medicaid. You're right. Medicaid. Which is a different thing from the federal Medicare. But the point is that there are tremendous resources from our government, both at federal and state level, going to help take care of the medical needs of these older people. And if our society had not structured it this way, with all these government benefits going there, our people would not be able to have this, quote, American retirement that they do. In one sense, this is even more, everybody talks about Social Security, and Social Security is a big deal, but in some respects, this is an even bigger deal, but seems to be more hidden and not as evident to people as the Social Security issue. Other comments or questions? Any other comments or questions on that? So, one way that the government helps maintain this illusion of American retirement is by taking care of medical benefits. And another area is by providing a Social Security payment. Now, Social Security in reality is insolvent now, but they still come up with this idea that right now the target year supposedly is 2033 when it runs out of money. I don't know why they say that, because in reality it's out of money now, but so it's through this transfer of wealth to folks through the Medicare and Medicaid system, and also through Social Security benefits, that Americans are able to live this illusion of retirement. Many people enter retirement completely unprepared, with very little savings. Comments or questions on that? Yes, Donna. No, that's total. In their total retirement, they'll spend $80,000 out of pocket. Any other comments or questions? Yes. Well, the biggest change was that there was not defined benefit programs until, say, the mid-1950s. And at that point, when they started it, for every retiree, they had 12 to 15 people working. And now, like in our state government and our teachers union, because of longer lifespans. My father was a teacher, and so before he died, when I was serving as his power of attorney, I would get these mailings from the teacher's retirement thing, and they would have a graph in there and show that I believe there's actually more people receiving benefits from the state teachers than there are actually active contributors. Now, you know that can't work. And so private employers have gotten to that point as well. As all these people have retired and we have longer lifespans, the plans became insolvent or simply unaffordable. So they moved away from defined benefits. Right. And through technology, through the widespread application of technology, American workers have become more efficient. You know that we all are covering and having responsibility for two and three times what we used to. Or if you've been somewhere working for a long time, you know that as people retire, they just don't replace the positions and you get more work to do. But that you're not contributing any more to the retirement fund. So that all has a big deal. Yes, David. Yep. Sure. Yep. Yep. Yeah, robotics are everywhere. Not long ago, I was touring the Land O'Lakes butter and powder plant over in Mount Holly Springs. And as they have those 1 pound boxes of butter like you buy in the grocery store coming off the assembly line, they have robots that are assembling those, packing them, putting them in boxes, sealing the boxes, and stacking them on pallets to be shipped. All robotic. Shrink-wrapped, everything. There's a, you know, the guy told me the cost of the robot is incredible, but he said we replaced three positions there with that robot. Yeah. Okay, so for those of you who are younger and may not have this all figured out, like us old guys with gray hair, not that we have it figured out. So, if you are self-employed, or if your employer does not provide a retirement option, then you have to do your own, and these are often called IRAs, or individual retirement accounts, or some sort of investment vehicle if you're trying to do your own retirement. And then, as we already talked with employer-provided retirement, you either have a defined benefit, which guarantees you a certain payment per month as long as you live, usually, or a defined contribution. And these are often called 401ks, but there's a lot of other types of defined contribution plans. And these mean that the employer guarantees that they will contribute a certain amount of money into this account. Now, it's these two that we want to talk about and refer back to what we discussed last week. Oftentimes, people take no time to determine what their money is doing in these 401ks. Most employees, the vast majority of employees, view this as an essential employee benefit as much as health care. When you ask people, what's the most important benefits when you're looking for a job? Health care, 401k, disability insurance, extra vacation time. The things that rank the highest are health care and some kind of retirement package. And yet, even though that's considered to be the second most important employee benefit after health care, very few people ever take time to actually look into how those plans are structured, what investments are being made. And, you know, at times, employers decide where this money gets shunted based on a little bit of extra consideration by the company that is going to invest the product. You know, so sometimes the decision is made of how money goes, not necessarily based on what's best for you. So you have every right and an obligation to spend some time, if you're in a 401k at your employer, to talk to, if you're a big company, talk to your human resource person, or if you're in a small company, talk to the boss and say, hey, yeah, this is my money and you're contributing to it. I appreciate that, but I'd really like to know what's going on with this. Because again, what we find is that oftentimes the employers don't want to be bothered by this either. They want to hand this off to some investment counselor. And what did we say last week about what investment counselors want to do? They want to sell products that get them commissions. They're not really necessarily concerned with how well the fund does, okay, within a certain sense. So you should really be on top of this. And both with, if you have a individual retirement account or a defined contribution, you should be doing exactly what we talked about last week. Seeing what the fees and commissions really are, what kind of funds are actually your money's being invested in. Comments or questions on that? Okay. Now, one of the things that's really difficult about doing this is most people, when they do surveys, most people say that trying to understand this is more confusing than understanding their medical plans. And we know how confusing the medical plans are nowadays. And that's often why people don't want to try to penetrate in and understand what's going on, because it's just so, they make it on purpose, they make it so confusing, you know, because they don't want you to know what they're getting out of it. But do the hard work with it if you've got one of those. Our time's up for this week. Next week we want to talk about some other things that come around in the issue of retirement, like prepaying for funeral expenses. Should we do that or not? Definite answer on that. Long-term care insurance. Someone asked me the question about whether Christians should be thinking about purchasing long-term care insurance. We'll talk a little bit about that next week as well. Any final comments or questions? Well, I know you're all really happy because I have told you that you have to work till you drop today, that retirement's not an option. I didn't say you couldn't quit your current job and do something else, okay? That's biblical, as long as you're doing something worthwhile for the kingdom. So, all right, let's close in prayer. Father, all this stuff is really big topics and difficult to understand, and we confess that none of us seem to have a real handle on all of this, and yet it so impacts our life. But in the end, Father, we do know and believe consistently that you care for us without fail. And so we do trust in you with all our hearts and minds. And we pray for the wisdom to live rightly before you. And that as needed, you would give us understanding and wisdom to be good stewards in all of these areas that we're talking about. Father, strengthen us for the task each day. And Lord, as we age and as we approach this American idea of retirement, keep our hearts and our minds pure. Keep us in your word. Keep us fresh and every day wanting to just return thanks and do good as we know we should. And Father, especially help us as we are so prone to self-centeredness. Father, keep our minds and hearts caring for others as well. We just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, see you next week.